As we continue worshiping together this morning, hear these words from the letter to the Philippians, the third chapter, beginning with the seventh verse. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Receive what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
At this time,
mercy. From time to time, I realize just how in over my head I am. Happened a couple of days ago when I sat down and tried to think about how in the world to introduce a person who's been awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, who's one of the nation's most accomplished civil rights, religious, and political figures, and who's been called the conscience of the nation and the great unifier for his insistence that America be inclusive and establish just and humane policies and priorities for the benefit of all. Long before it became the popular thing to do, the Reverend Jesse Jackson was bringing people together across lines. Lines of race, of culture, of gender, and of belief. And I can personally attest to the fact that he continues this work unabated to this day with a focus and a commitment that is truly inspiring. It wears me out just hearing from him. Yeah. He's like, if we had the technology available in this sanctuary to do so, I'd share a video clip that captures in a few moments the power, scope, and impact of Reverend Jackson's service. But since we don't, I trust that if you don't already know, you'll look at the little brief bio in the worship guide and then go do a little research. It won't take long to get the picture. The strangest part of this moment for me, though, friends, is the fact that circumstance and the grace of God has allowed me to know Reverend Jackson, not only as a mentor and as a colleague, but as a trusted and beloved friend. And I am profoundly humbled and honored that he agreed to be with us today, on this Sunday following the anniversary of Martin Luther King's death. In just a moment, I will share what I promise are very brief opening remarks on the text that we have heard read just a moment ago, and then together we will be blessed to receive a word from the Reverend Jesse L. Jackson, Sr. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, may our encounter with your word this day increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to that which is before us, we may travel the way of Jesus and find not only redemption, but resurrection. Amen. A moment ago, Paul read words from Paul, from another Paul, who said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I can get behind that statement. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. But here's the thing, Paul goes on to add to that, and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. That's a little harder to swallow, because we know the story of Jesus. We know Jesus' sufferings. He was trailed by authorities from the moment he came into this world. He was carried by his family to another country seeking asylum. As an adult, he was misunderstood. He was betrayed. He was denied. He was decried by an angry mob and sentenced to death on trumped-up charges. He was mocked and he was whipped and hung on a tree. Paul says he wants to share those sufferings. Once a notorious persecutor of Jesus' followers, Paul gave up his worldly power and position after the love of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, knocked him over on the road to Damascus. And that love transforms his life to the point that Paul wants to be like Jesus even when it means hardship and pain. And Paul believes there is redemptive power, resurrection power, in suffering for the sake of Christ, for the sake of justice, for the sake of what's right. Now, it's one thing to suffer because you're trying to follow Jesus, but what about when suffering happens simply because of who you are or where you are? What about the suffering caused by white supremacy or by war or poverty or homophobia or transphobia or earth-destroying greed? Is there any redemption to be found? Is resurrection a possibility for communities scarred for centuries by mistrust and violence? Is new life possible for three DC churches in the Methodist tradition who were severed as the result of systemic racism? Is resurrection possible for a United Methodist Church so broken by injustice and exclusion and conflict? Prophets through the ages insist that the answer to those questions is yes. That God is able to bring new life even when and where it seems impossible. Today, thanks be to God, we will hear from one of God's prophets who will reflect on his own experience of another of God's prophets, and on the other word that God has laid upon his heart today. We'll now hear from the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Good morning. I want to express my thanks to you for allowing me to share with you on this hallowed occasion. In this Easter, this resurrection season so central to our faith, I'm delighted some months ago my son went into the Howard Thurman series at this church. It was a great source of inspiration to me. We met Sister Ginger Gaines at that time, and we have become prayer and scripture partners. You know Ginger, you have to deal with a lot of nuances. She said trumped up charge. I know what she meant by it. Trumped up charges. When you have a woman of this stature and spirituality and intellect and commitment, because she's so available to us and to the children, we tend to take people like that for granted. And people like Ginger don't grow up like grapes in bunches. They're rare like pearls. She survived Oral Roberts, Oklahoma. She's a survivor. On your feet and show your love for your pastor. On your feet and show your love for your pastor. Put your hands together. Show your love. I planned a modified version of my message today, and then you guys can put this Baptist choir here. One of Dr. King's closest friends, of course, was Reverend Ralph Abernathy. He had two other partners he worked with down through the years, Reverend Sims and Reverend John Thurston, the father of your musician, Brother Thurston. His father was Dr. King's ate at his mama's table, preached at his father's church, and now he is over here, Miss Aram Rachel. Stand up there. We're in a very dark hour today, it seems, in our nation. Darkness abounds. We lock up babies in cages and put them on the border. Darkness abounds. Jesus was a border baby. Born on the border. Went to Egypt as an immigrant. Again, the South and became a refugee. Be careful how you treat refugee babies. I face it as boys witness to that challenge and that opportunity to serve selflessly and without calculation. Lock out the Muslims and desecrate the blacks, Africa and Haiti as holes and those who made our nation the nation it is today. Disrespect the person of women. I heard one of the candidates say the other day, we were founded at the Declaration of Independence, we're a little over 200 years old. That's really not accurate. This is the 400th year since African Americans came to this country. 1619, 2019. Declaration of Independence, 1776, we were here 157 years. Wages without, work without wages, 157 years before the Declaration of Independence. 157 years of a non-person status. There was a debate upon independence. What shall we do with them? Well, 3/5 human is the calculation with them. Supreme Court rule, legally supreme, not morally supreme. They have no rights, whites bound to respect. Then the war broke out and we needed them again because the South had gotten as far as Antietam, Maryland, as far as Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, shipped the capital from Montgomery to Richmond, about to move on Washington. And it is said that Lincoln freed them, but they saved Lincoln before Lincoln freed them. Well, if they had not started picking the cotton and been the front line for the South in this industry, Thomas Jefferson Davis would have won the war. Only God knows what America would have become if that had happened. But we were freed by him and we saved him. We are joint and co-heirs to America's greatness. Distinguished by skin color, we're not at the bottom of America, we're at the foundation. The bottom is where you end up. You may never get to the bottom. The foundation is where you start from. The foundation is always critical. We are the foundation of America's growth. After 246 years of slavery, we got freed but never got equal. 400 years ago, searching for the kingdom. War was won. The abolitionists from France who had marched along with Reverend Wilberforce to end slavery gave us a gift, the Statue of Liberty. It's on the same roof in France today. There's not a gift to welcome Europeans here. It does that. It was a gift from France thanking us for ending slavery and saving the Union. And so it was Thanksgiving Day, which was always a fall festival. Lincoln thanked God and by executive order made Thanksgiving a national holiday. It's not a ball game day, it's a certain kind of day. Many of us in our tradition, we have what they call watch night service. For us, it means loose living. People have parties that night. Holy people come to church that night, ringing the new year. But really, the watch night service was, and Lincoln said in the fall, I'll free you in 100 days unless the South rejoins the Union. They were not inclined to do so, and on the night of December 31st, we watched in prayer all night, not for last year, but for the new for the coming years. Emancipation Proclamation, most of us have not read, is the most significant document in our country today that we ended slavery legally. More important than the 13th Amendment because it came after much debate and won by three or four votes. Open the door for labor, peonage, and plantations. We struggle through the darkness, seeking the bright morning of resurrection. We hear these verses by Paul, resurrection. Somewhere in the natural order of things, Reverend, because you plant seeds in the ground in the fall, and they die. Good seeds produce good fruit in the spring. Rotten seeds produce rotten seeds in the spring. Or barren fig trees. Racist seeds produce racist fruit in the spring. There's nothing wrong with race. It distinguishes us, but racism, the belief that somebody is superior and somebody is inferior, is a sin before God. It's assumed that God is a racist, and that's not true. It's a sickness that we must grapple with today as we seek to be redeemed. Even the racist can be redeemed. The redeemed races and the arrogant races. We seek to be redeemed and try to be better than our culture. We must live above the limits of our culture. Good seeds are planted and they resurrect in the spring. Nelson Mandela had to die to live. Jailed for lifetime without parole. Never allowed his picture to be shown. 27 years in the tomb, worried early one Sunday morning. Walked up, not been over wearing glasses and crippled. Walking upright, holding the hand of his wife and friends, freeing his jailer. Crucified one was resurrected that morning. We felt the impact, the life of Nelson Mandela. I was in Memphis this week to a friend and ours, Reverend James Lawson, one of the great leaders of your church. If you've never heard of James Lawson, don't die first. Brilliant man, first African American to go to Vanderbilt. About 90 years of old age now, still teaching at UCLA, a brilliant theologian, one of my mentors, one of Dr. King's mentors, as a matter of fact, Art and Science for Nonviolence, Reverend James Lawson. We were there together. Looking at the spot where Dr. King was slain 51 years ago. Every time I go to Memphis, the scab comes off and it's no healing yet. It's still raw. I remember as if it were yesterday in a conversation with him coming across the courtyard. Jesse, you're late again. We have to go to Reverend Kyle's home for dinner. He was late. I was not late. You go in the river, you don't even have on a tie. I said, Dr. King, the prerequisite for eating is an appetite, not a tie. He said, you're crazy. by that time the bullet hit his neck and severed his tire. And the nation mourned because the good seed had been crucified and been assassinated. We didn't know what to do. Perplexed, confused. When you don't know what to do, lean to God in faith, not your own understanding. We just held on until the morning came, and as sure as the night comes, the morning really does come. Back in Memphis, 1968, Barack at the back of the White House in 08 as president, 40 years in the wilderness. We wept, we rioted, we prayed, we struggled, we built national organizations for women, we built the Black Convention in Gary, we struggled. The end of 40 years, we end up going from the blood on the balcony of Memphis to Barack removing his brow in 08. A kind of resurrection moment, protracted resurrection. Remember that season with Dr. King? January 15th of that year, it was a brilliant Sunday morning. He came to the church with blue jeans on and windbreaker jacket, sports shirt. He gathered about six of us at the church in his basement. That's how he spent his own birthday, for those who want to celebrate his birthday. Came to church to work. Some Native Americans from the reservations, some Jewish allies from New York, Al Lowenstein, some Latinos from the Southwest, some of Chavez's group, some Blacks from the Deep South, some Whites from Appalachia, with whom we'd never worked, but he felt there would be no justice on one side, there was justice on all. Justice had some properties of continuity and consistency. He talked about how they're in poverty. He said, we won Montgomery. Go to the front of the bus, public accommodation, the right to vote. Hard-working people living in trailer camps, rich getting richer faster, poor getting poorer in ways of ugly. Poor people tend to start dreaming poor dreams and think poorly of themselves. Poor aspirations, internalize their poverty. Oftentimes they live it out, sometimes try to drown it. So it was that around noontime, Donald Clayton came in with a cake, said, Doctor, forgot it was your birthday. We ate the cake, drank the punch. Now, Lowenstein gave a look how they ended one bit. He said, well, my friends are attacking me because focus just on civil rights. The budget for healing at home is killing abroad. I cannot bifurcate my sense of justice. I'm a Nobel Prize winner. So he kept preaching. That fall, that spring, he was on severe attack. Some churches closed doors in his face. Friends told him publicly. A board member wrote a letter to the New York Times, a three-page letter to the New York Times, printed all of it. Discourage him, so we should not come to Washington again. We could not survive the threats of it all. He was belabored. Called me one Friday night. Yes, I need to see you tomorrow morning. I said, Doc, I'll get there if I can. That really meant I wasn't coming because we had something else to do on Saturday morning. Called Beverly and said the same thing. Rabbi Abernathy called us back and said, look, Martin is very serious. He needs to see you. So we regrouped and we went to Atlanta that morning. And I should never forget the three moves he went through. You see, my wife Coretta and I, and Andy Young and his wife Jean, Rabbi and his wife Juanita. For 3 days I've labored. Should I turn back? Should I stop? Should I quit? Maybe I've done as much as I could do in 13 years. We've had some big victories. Maybe my time has come. Maybe I should just quit. And then he said, I really can't quit because if I were to quit, those behind me, Frederick Douglass and those who never quit wouldn't understand. I can't quit. And the answer said, Doc, don't talk that way. He said, Andy, don't say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Let me finish. We got real quiet. He said, maybe our movement is in disunity. If I would fast to the point of death, my friends would come to my bedside. We'd disagree on strategies, Roy Wilkins and Whitney Young and Stokely and Rapp and all that. But we're still friends. They'd come to my bedside and hold my hand. Maybe we could get up again. Then as if something came over him, a light broke out and he said, we're going on to Memphis by way of Washington, to Washington. We're going to Washington, we're going to tie up traffic, we're going to jail. We're going to force the Congress to choose us over Vietnam killing, we're going on to Washington. Got to stop by Memphis instead. I watched him go those three moves, like, let me stop. Let me fast death, let me go on. I remember Jesus going through the same three moves, you know, let this cup pass from me. I've healed a lot of sick people, I've made a lot of blind people see, I've helped a lot of people, I've done a lot of sacrifice, a lot of suffering, and maybe I've done my ministry in 3 years. As he prayed, disciples slept. Some of us slept. It was early in the morning. Then not my will, but thine be done. One of the problems, we all want resurrection. We want to avoid the crucifixion. You got to go through Friday to get to Sunday. Got to die to live. Got to plant the seed in the fall to let it come forth with fruit in the spring. And so he said, here I am, send me. When I looked at that balcony again Friday, balcony of the White House, 40 years in the wilderness, he rose again. Today we seek resurrection. One of the things about the scripture, it says that I have to give up my stuff to get to the kingdom. I was blessed to preach the funeral to eulogize Joe Louis and Jackie Robinson and Sammy Davis and some other famous people who had earned earth with credentials, but none of them had a U-Haul attached to their hearse. Couldn't take any stuff with you. Jesus says it's difficult for rich people to get to the kingdom. And nothing against rich people, the rich people become addicted to their stuff. They fall in love with the clothes they can't wear, the house they cannot take with them, the stuff. They can't spend their money to get to the kingdom. They can't get there. They have to give up their stuff. And many of us are addicted to our stuff. What matters the most to God? What can you give God that matters to God? Is it your money? Your farmhouse? Your vehicle? Your degree? What matters most to God is your faithfulness. Do you have the capacity to be faithful and risk your stuff over his kingdom? Can you love unconditionally? Can you love anyhow? Can you love those who despitefully use you? Can you love anyhow? Can you care anyhow? It is said that people tend to care that you know you went to the big school, you went to George Washington, Harvard or Lincoln, or Harvard or Yale. People care you know, but they won't know that you care. Can you care enough to give up your stuff? It's just your priority. Paul said, I have a lot of stuff. I'm going to leave all that behind because I'm going to a higher ground. In some sense, that's our challenge today as a nation as we move toward this dark hour. Tax cuts for the very wealthy and health cuts for the very poor. It's dark. Vulgarity without shame coming from high places, it's dark. But somehow God has a way. As surely as night, the morning cometh. So hold on until the morning cometh. What shall we do? When it's real dark, the stars shine more clearly. If this room were dark today and pitch dark and there were no lights, one candle would challenge all the darkness. Darkness cannot fight darkness, but light can defeat darkness every time. That's why love will prevail over hate, courage over cowardice. It's Easter season, not bunny rabbit season, not new clothes and tight shoe season. It's not just admire, it's easy to admire Jesus. Somebody who died for you is easy, but to follow. It's not enough to admire him and wear a cross around your neck. I said to Dr. Jenny, I'm glad Jesus was not killing an electric chair. We'd be wearing electric chairs around our necks today rather than crosses. It's not the crosses, who was on the cross, and it's not the king was willing to die. Mandela Wilkins, but they did not choose to die when they died. Jesus, the supreme teacher, chose to die that we might live. Chose to show us how to get resurrected. Some got to die so some can live. It may be our culture has to die before a new day is born. Maybe we must give up ancient fears, ignorance, hatred, and violence. If you plant two seeds in the ground of equal strength, build a wall between them. One will grow tall, multiples of fruit, one will be stunted. It does not mean the taller one is better, smaller one is less. It means photosynthesis, the sunlight, enable one to get tall, the other one stays dwarfed. When you replace walls to bridges, they can all grow, and life is not a zero-sum game. One of my great joys as I close watching Clemson play Alabama in the big football game. I grew up in South Carolina where I began to go to Clemson with the federal marshals, Clemson. In South Carolina, Alabama offering loose had to go to Alabama for the marshal to remove George Wallace from the door. Those ugly moments, those two schools now playing in the big game in California. What a God we serve. Lights are shining bright today. Women have come alive voting with passion. Chicago now has a male with a triple problem. She is black, female, and gay. And won 75% of the vote, captured every ward. As we grow up, as we mature, as we get better, become less judgmental, more humble, respect each other for what they are. I said to my wife, Jackie, before we had a child, if I had a child, I want my child to have four qualities. One, have a good mind. Minds matter. Be physically strong enough to be able to survive with some measure of independence. Have the courage of his or her conviction. Have scientific objectivity to see people as they are, not as people have them to be, and a sense of religion, a sense that God really does matter, God really is supreme. So here we are today. We go into the darkness. As sure as dark, the morning cometh. We'll survive this season. We'll learn lessons from this season. More women are elected. Chicago is now African-American mayor and county chair and state's attorney and attorney general, 9 of 17 positions now held by women. Because we're mature, we're growing, we're getting better. We become more redeemed. Lastly, ask God to help us through this season. Turn to God, not to your own understanding. Turn to your faith. So faith is when you step out on the staircase and don't see the next step, but just do it anyhow. Because you have the faith. We have the faith, God has the power. My experience has taught me if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn their wicked ways, they'll hear from heaven and God will heal their land. A couple of years ago, I had a disease called the Parkinson's. They said it has no healing remedy. All you really can do is take some medicine, do some exercise, and hold on to your faith. And of the three, faith has been my weapon of choice during this season. My witness in my lifetime, I've been blessed, 77, nearly 78 years of age now. I've seen a lot in my lifetime. I've seen the wall in China, the manufacturing plants in Japan, walked the streets of Germany, walked the roads of Auschwitz, seen the pyramids, walked with Dr. King, walked with Mandela. I watched seeds planted that grew on whose trees, whose limbs we would never see, but I was blessed to live long enough to see some trees, some seeds planted that became trees. I've seen a lot, and so have you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, the just forsaken, love forsaken. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed beg for bread. Keep loving. Keep caring. Remain faithful. Turn to each other, not on each other. God can keep a promise. God promised to see us through. And yes, he will. Amen.